I'm Ray to slash a bird.
No quarter. I am going to be uncomfortable and all over you from start to finish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And today, I'm doing something that I've never done before on the show, which is talking about Motorama, which, as I'm sure many of the folks that watch this podcast are preparing for, coming up here in a couple of weeks. So to talk about that today, I have John Durand. So welcome to the show so that we can chat about Motorama.
Hello, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've obviously done a pretty heavy focus on BattleBots and NHRL for a couple of years, but there's so much more out there in terms of combat robotics, and I think it's a great idea to highlight that, even though I don't think Motorama has any problems like getting people to show up. But I think it's still good to build some hype on the way up to that event.
Oh, yeah. And there's always mutual hype from the friends who always want to come out to do Motorama each year. And it's always like, you got to do it. You got to do it. And it's just like, well, what's so special about it? It's like, it's the people, man. It's just, it's a good time. It's just a fun time for 2 days, 3 days if they're for the ant weights. And yeah, it's just fun, good, wholesome times.
Yes, it certainly sounds that way. Now, if you could kind of tell me, as a person who's never been to Motorama ever, a little bit about, like, historically with that event in terms of the robot combat. I mean, it sounds like it's something that signups go really fast. You know, there's a lot of people that just want to show up to watch it. So I just kind of want to hear about the historic aspect of it.
Sure. And it's funny you mentioned about like signups going fast. I do recall a period of time where we crashed a builder's database like 2 or 3 years in a row because everybody wanted to get in right away. And we had to break it up into waves to not take down the website. So yeah, I mean there's definitely been that hype for a bit in that regard. So yeah, Motorama as a whole, like the entire event, for those who don't know, takes place at the Pennsylvania Farm Show Complex, which hosts multitude of expos throughout the year, including the PA Farm Show in January, which, you know, I live about an hour away, so that's a regular trip for us each year. But the Motorama itself has been going on there, I think, since 1978, if I recall correctly. It's going for a long time. Now, for the Northeast Robotics Club and participating at Motorama, we started there in 2003. So this will be year number 21. And it's pretty cool that, you know, it was just kind of a, hey, are you guys interested in hosting robot combat here? Sure, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. And it's just blossomed into this event that has become an annual pilgrimage, it seems, for a lot of robot builders, at least a rite of passage to go through each year. So yeah, it's really cool. And it's for those who don't understand Motorama as a whole, we are just a small cog in the wheel of this monstrous motorsports expo. So like every square inch of that facility is used for something during the whole weekend. So you have ATV and motorcycle racing in the large arena area. There is like a Tuner Wars section where you have all like the fancy like tricked out cars. There is RC car racing of like 8th and 10th scale, so that takes up like two places, like a huge equine area for the larger guys, and then the smaller guys take like the horse barn area. There is quarter midgets, go-karts, a whole vendor section. I mean, it's everywhere. So there's so much that's going on that entire weekend that, you know, we're just a small part, but we still have a big crowd that comes to see it. So there's a lot of people in general there over the course of the weekend. So it's a lot to take in. It's tough, especially if you're a competitor, to try and compete and also go see it. So it's almost like you got to take it in ways. You can go a couple times and just, you know, go check out something different each year. But yeah, I think that's kind of a general summary of Motorama. I kind of went a little in depth.
Yeah, Yeah, I would say that that largely encompasses a lot of what I've heard from other folks that have gone. Now, for those that aren't familiar, I'm sure all of my builder audience is familiar, but anybody else, what weight classes do you have competing at Motorama?
Sure. So right now, we've kind of settled in on doing everything from a ferry weight up to 30 pounders, including doing combat 30s and sportsman 30s. So overall, ferry weight, ant weight, which are on Friday, and then the main show, we have beetle weights in a side arena, and then we do 12s, combat 30s, and sportsman 30s in the large box over the course of the 2 days at the event. In the past, we've done different weight classes too. Just for example, like I also want to branch that out because we've done a lot. So we have done in the past 60-pound lightweights and 120-pound middleweights. When we had a larger arena that we could do that with, that got a little expensive to maintain, so we scaled back a bit. So yeah, we've done a whole bunch of different stuff in there, but I think we found our niche.
That's good because, yes, I mean, a lot of weight classes are great. It gives people some variety, but I'm sure as an event organizer, it's a lot to manage.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It was a blessing in disguise the 1 year that we did do the heavier weight classes that we were, had the opportunity to use a larger arena. It's just logistics, planning, everything else, like you're saying, it does take careful consideration to do. So I think we found a happy medium with something that we can easily build and tear down and easily store, and it just works each year. So it's like, I think we found the happy medium.
I'm curious, I mean, for you, what have you found to be the challenges of running an event that isn't, necessarily like a static every month or every couple of months event like some of the leagues have, where they can kind of they have their own facility, they can leave the stuff there, whereas you're essentially having to tear down and set up, every year for this event.
Yeah, so like for me, this is kind of like my production background of like building stage sets and things like that. I used to do a lot more of production work in college and whatnot. But like the toughest part that we have to grasp for a lot of people is this is all volunteer run. And for a lot of us, this takes a lot of time out of our schedules just to plan around each year. We're not so fortunate to have large funds or nothing. This is a pretty much has been grassroots since day one, as a whole for Northeast Robotics Club. And we kind of prefer to stay it that way. So like the hard challenge has always been, all right, how can we make this that we're not killing yourself ourselves each year? So yeah, how can we able to break out tasks through enough people to make it work each year? But the tough part is, we need to get more people in there to help out with it because, it does take time, and some of us get a little burnout from it, but we do love what we do.
As I would say, most people in combat robotics feel that way to some extent. It's not always easy, but it's a lot of fun and very rewarding in the end. Now, as far as my understanding is, typically the event is streamed. There's some type of streaming going on, so folks that aren't there can watch it. Where can people find that, if they want to watch the event and just can't be there?
Yeah, so that's where my part is. I volunteered to do more of the web stream end, the back end. So that's been my labor of love over the last couple of years with the help of a couple of friends too, that we all take part in keeping that running. So we try to keep it on Twitch and YouTube because I think that seems to be the most visible sources out there. So the funny part is like YouTube allows us to do multiple live streams within the same account. So we have just youtube.com/robotconflict should get you right there, or just search for Robot Conflict on YouTube, which also houses we have a slowly releasing repository of old fights that we're getting out there. But YouTube for sure, and then Twitch, we have two different channels. We have Robot Conflict and then Robot Conflict 2, TWO, because we needed two separate accounts, and I'm not creative in that, so that's what we decided to do, Robot Conflict and Robot Conflict 2. So Robot Conflict would host the main box and the ant weights and fairy weights on Fridays. And then Robot Conflict 2 is used for the beetle weight event that takes place on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, awesome. That's certainly helpful for me. being on my little Midwest island out here, I certainly will be watching for sure. Now, one other thing I really want to talk about is the competitive aspect of it, because I mean, the level of competition, at least from what I've heard and what I've observed, in limited capacity so far, is that like there are a lot of really good robots that come to Motorama. And so if you want to win the whole event, you're going to certainly have some people to go through.
Oh, for sure. I think that's the one thing that's kind of, we didn't ask for it, but we became like the Super Bowl of like small bot combat, at least at one point in time. I know now that we have, other available avenues out there. It's kind of been a little diluted, but like we're still the place where you have to go through a lot to get there. It's a standard double elimination tournament, so there's nothing fancy there. But you do have people that are coming from everywhere to compete. And the one thing I think we're very proud of is a lot of the builders that you see on BattleBots today, and also in the National Havoc Robot League, they started here. Like they came at Motorama, competed each year. Like Jameson, for example, he's been coming for so long now. Like I remember him being this little guy, and he's now turned into a complete monster of a competitor, and it's awesome to see. Like it's really cool to see over time a lot of teams who started their craft, competing at Motorama and working their way up. And you still have those people coming back each year. So you have multiple BattleBots teams that are there each year, and just testing stuff out. And sometimes they're coming to take everybody out in the process. But yeah, that it does up the level quite a bit, and it seems to be kind of a bellwether each year where some of the teams are at in the smaller bot classes for sure. So yeah, it's definitely a tough competition. It depends who shows up each year, but by and large, every year it's a good crop of people that you really want to see where your bot stands. You'll find out that weekend. I mean, but also on the side note too, like as much as competitive, at the same time, like we try to make it lighthearted and fun. Like that's the one thing that we try to push across is like, yes, you're gonna have the toughest bots here, but at the same time, it's like, don't be a complete try hard. Come on, let's step a little bit here. I mean, this is all fun. We're here smashing our stuff up.
Yes, that is an important part of it. Now, because, like you said, in a lot of ways, people kind of look at Motorama as like a Super Bowl type of event. I think maybe as opposed to just the standard league events, when you go to Motorama, I feel like if your goal is winning, you really have to make sure that your robot is dialed in, because it's a one-off event. It's not like you have an event to let's see how this works and then come back to a later event and then, try and test those iterations. You really have to be dialed in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I remember in my prime of when I was competing in the earlier days, like I remember the years that was pretty successful. I had tons and tons of spares of everything because I knew I needed it. And I remember having to dig deep into a lot of the boxes each year to keep functioning, as it were, just to keep things going. So yeah, it is one of those things I've seen. I think the craziest example I've seen of that is I think there's one Canadian team. They travel down and they rent a van, or the guy just brings his van. I remember the whole story, but like it's like a mini shop. Like everything is in the van, and like they pull it out in the rolling carts. It's just they take this the standard table that we have and turn it into a complete like mini shop. I've seen people bring their arbor presses with them. Usually some person has a welder that we bring with and have a welding area for. I remember some years in the early past, somebody brought a mini mill into their hotel room and was machining parts late night. Like people have gone to some great lengths over time. It's kind of scaled into, staying at the venue these days. But like, yeah, there's a lot that some people have to take into consideration over the 2 days because it is a grind. Like it is a grind of you got to keep on feeding the fights into the system, so you got to be ready. So that means doing whatever you need to do to kind of get the bot ready again.
Yeah, and yeah, you make a good point. I mean, I get some people, they'll do a lot more than some others, and that's fine. It really all comes down to, what you want to get out of it and, what you are willing to do to kind of achieve that goal, I suppose. Now, Because you've been involved in this for a while, I'm curious if over the course of time there's any fights or any robots that like have stood out to you in the past, if you're like looking back at past years.
Yeah, I could definitely mention a few. And the first that comes to mind right away is Big Ripto and Hypolarized, or any iteration of Zach's Shell Spinner that's been there each year. Because those are the times where we've definitely had to jump back when either Hypolarized hit the wall or Big Ripto sent something into the ceiling, or those are times that I've definitely, had to think for sure of, like, that's been memorable, of like those bots sticking out for sure. I remember Dark Blade around like 2007, 2008. That was one of the first times we saw like a very high RPM vertical spinner. It was no frills approach, but he was just launching robots to the roof and just sending parts and testing the integrity of our arena. Those are two to come to mind from like way back. I would say in the last couple years, I would have to say Knockoff White was just a fun example of, puncturing holes in the robots and just letting LePos go up in flames. Jason Ribeiro's one bot, I am trying to remember the name off the top of my head. He had a saw blade bot one of the years that went through atop of another bot. And it's on our it's out there on YouTube. I know it for sure. But the saw blade cutting through the top and this huge fireball coming out of the robot, that stuck out as a really good memory of just like, it wasn't the fact that it was the craziest, because it was like it was low budget, and it beat a high budget bot by just still being able to get through the armor. But it was so memorable, absolutely, of like, that was the most spectacular LiPo fire I think I've seen, because it's just this funnel of fire coming out of the robot. Yeah, I would say there's definitely been a few of those. Beam getting launched into the air gap about 2 or 3 years ago at the finals was so fitting. Yeah, there's so many I could probably start rattling off as I'm going through. But those are a few to name that like come immediately to my mind over the years of like, those are some memorable ones. Like, yeah, like I can harken back to this right away and know where I was when that happened. Or like, yeah, Darkblade cutting through the floor of the box, and just our floor just gets cut up so much each year, and like some years like they almost make it through, and it's just a, wow, like it is impressive to see the display of some of the robots that come through.
I mean, everyone loves a good LiPo fire, right?
Absolutely. You're not living until you get a LiPo fire, right?
Exactly. Now, another thing that I think would be good just for people looking to go, in your experience, I mean, what are some good travel tips for getting to Motorama, or staying, near Motorama for the easiest access to the venue and things like that?
For sure. Yeah. And this will probably take a few minutes. I think it's really good though, because it's like there's two parts. There's the getting there and the things to do when you're there, because there's two unique parts with that, I would say. Because that's the social aspect that really binds us together there. Because there's a lot of playful ribbing that's going on over the course of the entire weekend. But getting there, definitely allow yourself a lot of time, because it's February, it's Pennsylvania. There's always a chance of snow, and there's been years where there's been snow and we have to trudge through. So the Farm Show Complex in itself is a behemoth of a property. So parking really close is tough. Now, for anybody who's a competitor, they get a parking pass, but there's limited parking in the Farm Show Complex itself. There's closer parking for like trailers and for like the motorbike guys and for certain staff members. But sometimes you got to park across the street over at the Harrisburg Area Community College Center. And I think they take a shuttle in at that point. But just allow yourself time. That is the number one thing. Take an extra day off of work to get there. Like if you're coming and competing as for an ant weight or fairy weight on a Friday, get there Thursday. Don't try and say you can just drive there in the morning. Take your time. Number one thing, take your time. Lodging, the Motorama events has group codes for certain hotels. But it's also good to shop around too, just in case. There's plenty of hotels in the area that are within distance. You will pay a premium the closer you are, because I think a lot of hotels now figured out, oh, there's something going on this weekend, we'll jack up the price a little bit. So plan ahead. So, like, if you know you're going, I would say try and book as early as you can. Sometimes the prices may dip beforehand. So that's something to keep in mind. But yeah, so if you're coming as a competitor, pack mobile, like pack mobile friendly that you can cart things into. You can, if you're gear on Friday, they don't restrict parking in terms of, like, you can pull in to right where the small arena is in the backside and drop off stuff. But they are starting to crack down on that a little bit more each year now as more people are coming in. So if you can get in on Friday to do that, great. Otherwise, make sure you have everything mobile so you can wheel it in to get into the venue. So that's a big thing. That's a tough part for a lot of people that, like, man, I gotta walk a little bit to get here. So we try and do that. That's the best thing I can tell you is, you should be able to drive up on Fridays, but it depends on who's running the security posts each year. But make everything mobile friendly. That is the number one thing. Make it wheelable, make it mobile. That would save you a ton of time and hassle. So, like, that's the juxtaposition of trying to bring too many spares or not. So yeah, that would be like to get there and to stay, like, give yourself the time to. What's nice is usually, like, for schools, like, President's Day is the following Monday, so take your time. You can enjoy your time on a Monday to take your time good and back. Don't feel like you have to drive back on Sunday. We want you to stay around and help us tear down the arena. So, like, we always could use the hands for that. It makes things a lot quicker. And usually each year we'd have a lot of people that want to stick around to help the tear down. So we usually don't have a problem there. While you're there, some things to definitely do, because it's the things that we joke about each year as, like, the nostalgia feels. Across the hall from us, there is, like, a small food vendor stand. Gotta try the Amish Hot Pockets. basically, it's an Amish run, like, pretzel stand. And they do, like, stuffed pretzel sandwiches and soft pretzels and such. Gotta have one of those. If you know anything about the Pennsylvania Farm Show, there's the Dairyman milkshakes that are always sold at the farm show each year, and they do sell them at Motorama too. So you gotta try one of those while you're there. But the other thing I'll say is to try, you're not gonna get to everything in the venue if you're trying to, like, spectate. If you're a competitor, you're not gonna be able to see everything at the whole venue. Try and pick out what you want to see in the downtime in between, if you have the time to. If you're a spectator coming to see Motorama, I'd say go see everything and us, because I don't want people to miss out. Like, you're paying for a good ticket. Go check out other stuff too. But if you just want to stay with us too, we're cool with that. That's perfect. And yeah, the facilities are pretty easy to work with. It's when you understand the layout, the farm show, it's not so bad. But at first, it's just like, where do I go to get places? And thankfully, the signage has gotten better the last couple of years, so you can kind of tell where things are. But yeah, the food's really close. There's a lot of food really close by. Bathroom's really close by. Pit spaces. Oh, that's another thing. Pit spaces. So if you're a competitor coming in, pit spaces in the back, we have to kind of be friendly with everybody. So we got a finite amount of space back there. So it's a good time to get social with friends. So share power. We try and, limit chairs and tables, like one team per table as much as we can. And overflow, we do put into the main arena area there too. But yeah, don't be afraid to shack up next to somebody and socialize, because you're all going to get to know each other pretty well over the tight confines each year.
Yeah, it certainly sounds that way. And then the other thing that I wanted to ask about, again, I'm sure that people like who have been there before are pretty familiar with it, but just in case, there's people that aren't, the structure of the tournament itself, what can people expect from that in terms of like what that looks like, how quickly between matches, things of that nature?
For sure. So our rule set's pretty much typical, most of the standardized rule sets out there. So it's a double elimination tournament for everything, unless we have, like, a small number or, like, an odd number in a field. Like we've done, like, a round robin 1 year or two for a weight class, or we done, I think we did like a almost like a World Cup style for sportsmen last year, where we did like a group play and had a final four. But typically we do run double elimination, especially the larger the field is, we definitely do double elimination. Smaller numbers, we try to make it good to fill in the gaps because we're there to put on a show for 2 days. So you have to keep that in mind of, we're trying to fill as much time as we can for everybody. So by and large, what you're going to see over the weekend is everything's double elimination by and large. Friday is amp weights and fairy weights. And those we try to run starting around 11 o'clock. It depends. Some years we're a little bit later because of people rolling in late or just things just not happening on time. We run on time for that day. So I do apologize if you're like ready to go watching at 11 o'clock and it doesn't happen yet. Like just be patient. We'll get it up. And then Saturday, we do try and be pretty firm on our time of we need to get going by 10 because everybody's starting to fill in the stands and we got to start entertaining everybody there too. So we try and get that started close as 10 as possible. And the beetle weights the same time too. So the beetle weights have their own 8-foot box in the pit area in the back, which is crowd facing too for the people walking by. So that's something that, is really cool that, we can watch both at the same time. But both will be running double elimination. And there may be gaps in between there, but we do have 20 minutes for postponement fights. By the end of the days, usually we're struggling sometimes to throw in a bot or two, so there may be a longer gap between fights there. But we do try and move it through as much as we can. We try to not have as much downtime, but it all depends. I mean, we're not a like we want you there when your time's up, but we'll also give you the benefit of the doubt because the one running joke we have each year is I'm putting the top on. I'm just putting the top on. That's just me another minute. I'm putting the top on, and it's a running meme each year. Like we understand, but like don't take advantage of that because we'll come find you. It's like that's one of those things of like it's a serious competition, but at the same time, like we know you're there to get everything to compete. So like everything's slightly malleable, but don't take advantage of it. Be there on time, and then we'll be the friendliest people to you in the world.
So probably don't say I'm putting the top on if you have a pile of like screws and electronics and nothing is together.
Oh, that's oh, we see right through that because we've all been there. That's the one thing. It's like, come on, man, we've been there. We know. Like, it's okay. Like, yes, if your bot's in a million pieces, just take the L because everybody's gonna want to keep moving. So, but yes, like yeah, if you're literally just putting the top on, like I've seen some people literally just take their bot to the prep table right next to the arena and literally put the top on there. That's cool. That's fine. We get that, but we'll take it. We do not like being taken advantage of on it.
Yes, for sure. Is there anything else about the Motorama competition that we haven't touched on that you think people should know?
For sure. Like I said earlier, this is a volunteer run thing. We always could use help. And that's one of those things of like it could be just helping out the event weekend and just being a hand and filling in, because the toughest part is making sure we have somebody there at the box at all times to help load things in. Say if we have our judges, like sometimes judges need to take a break and we need a rotating third, like there's always room for somebody to help out with. And that's the biggest thing I cannot stress enough. Like if you want to help go hunt people down to get their bots ready and staged, please, we'd be happy to have you on hand. Come find us. We'll put you to work. And I promise we won't overwork you at all. But we're just happy to have the help. So the number one thing is volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. And on that note too, we're definitely looking to help usher in a new generation for Northeastern Robotics Club. So we're looking for some people too to help us out keep this event running in the future too. A lot of us are getting older, have been doing it for 15, 20 years. So some of the old guard are looking to pass the baton down. So we're always looking for new people to step up and help run things. It's the only time commitment right now for our group is Motorama each year right now. So, you know, that's great to get that off the ground and keep that going. And, you know, hopefully we'll find another fall event. We used to have a fall event too. That's kind of fallen through the cracks a little bit with just planning and timing and things. So, you know, it's time to move on from it a little bit. But volunteers, number one. That's the thing. That's what makes it so fun each year is just, you know, us casually just, you know, having a good time, but also smashing things up. Like it's a good combination of both. It's just this fellowship that exists each year between everybody. And the number one thing we always ask is just have a smile on your face, have a good time. And we're here to have fun with it. Like let's all have a good time.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that's definitely the big things for sure.
Fun is the name of the game and should be the name of the game with combat robotics. So, well, I'm really looking forward to watching it from afar and seeing all of my friends compete and, you know, hopefully do well. So, really excited for that, but I definitely appreciate you, John, for coming on the show and letting everybody know about Motorama, so that even if they don't get the chance to attend this year, maybe it's something good to plan for next year, at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah,
So.
that event's not going away anytime soon. Like it's that they're clicking on all cylinders. So, you know, start planning out if you can't make it this year, come next year. We'd love to have you. That includes you too. gotta come on out. Yeah, we'd love to have you. It's one of those things of, you know, this event has a lot of heritage along with it. But you know, there's always the future to look forward to on it. So we want to see as much as you as we can. So plan to come. That's definitely a big thing. Yeah, that's it. Just come. I mean, we love to have you here. So like I said, we're just one big family here.
Absolutely. And considering this time last year, I had zero combat robots in my house, and now I currently have four combat robots in my house. So, gotta do something with them, you
The
know?
addiction grows pretty quick. I've been there. I started with one and I started competing with like four at the same time, going, what am I getting myself into?
Exactly. That's how it tends to go. But you know, for everyone that's watching, obviously, please continue to support combat robotics, as I'm sure that you all do. But it's just so important to continue growing the sport. Please make sure that you like, subscribe for this show, as the more things that I can do with this show, the more that we can do the other goals that we have in growing the sport. So please keep doing that. Thank you everybody for watching, and we'll see you next time on the show.